EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all enjoying your weekend. Jenny will start us off tonight, calling from Yorkshire in the UK. And Jenny is a clairvoyant medium, psychic artist and writer with over 45 years of experiences with the paranormal and working with the spirit world, and will be sharing some of her notable experiences tonight for us. And last but not least, we have the pleasure of Em from Melbourne, Australia, sharing her encounters with the paranormal, UFOs and out-of-body experiences. Jenny is up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Jenny. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Nick. It's lovely to be here.
And it's lovely having you join us today. And you're calling from East Yorkshire in the United Kingdom.
I am indeed. I'm in Yorkshire, God's country, and it's lovely and green, a bit hot today, and we're expecting rain anytime soon.
We are way ahead of you, Jenny. Okay, Jenny, you have some experiences that you'd like to share with us. Would you like to let the listeners know a little bit about yourself and some of your experiences, please, ma'am?
Of course I will. I'm a clairvoyant medium and psychic artist, and I've been psychic since I was a little girl. Not too many years ago. I'm not going to say how many exactly, but it's over 50. And since I was a child, yeah, I've heard spirit, seen spirit, and learned how to communicate with spirit as well. And now I even draw my spirit friends when they pop in to visit and sketch them. And I do shows, I do demonstrations of clairvoyance, and I do readings for clients online and in person, and I also write about my experiences and have published books and different things.
Tell us about some of your experiences that you've had, Jenny.
Well, one particular experience that I wanted to talk to you about was I had a famous person come through from spirit, which people always say, like, if you had anybody famous through, and actually I've had quite a few now, but one in particular that was interesting was I was at a psychic evening in Lincolnshire in an old pub, and it was built on the remains of an old mill, and so over the years there was lots of ghostly interactions there. There were some ghost dogs that used to run through in the middle of performances and things, so it was quite a spooky old building. And one night I'd been demonstrating on stage and I'd done the demonstration and finished. While everyone was leaving, I was chatting to one of my friends. I said I'd do a reading for her if she wanted. So she said, oh, yes, please. So I stood up because sometimes I work better when I'm standing. I was tuning into spirit and normally I get a picture in my head or I see something or I hear a voice telling me something. But this time it was different. I heard music and it was an instrumental and it went dum dum da 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 dum 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 da 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 dum dum dum, and I'm rocking backwards and forwards on my heels, listening to this music, singing along, going, I know that, I know it. Where do I know that from? And I'm thinking, and I thought, oh, it's a theme tune to Steptoe and Son. So I think, oh right, no, I know what it is. I've got a rag and bone man in spirit that's come through to talk to my friend. She must have known him. So I turn around to my friend and say, you know, you must have known Rag and Bone Man because I've got Rag and Bone Man in spirit here and wants to be remembered to you. And she looked at me, she went, no. I went, oh, okay. Let me get back to them. So I'm tuning in again and I'm listening. I can still hear this theme tune. And I'm thinking, well, I'm definitely a Rag and Bone Man. And then in front of me, I got this vision that opened up. And it's a bit like a sort of like an overlay, you know, when you see like Walt Disney, how they used to do the old animation, and they put like the different cells on top of each other, so you could see like the foreground with the background and the different animation characters on there. And it was like an overlay in front of me, and it was a big junkyard laid out, and there was all sorts of copper piping and milk bottles, and there was a tailor's dummy, and there was all sorts of things in there. And I said to my friend, I'm definitely got a Rag and Bone Man because I can see like a junkyard. And just as I said that, I saw Harry H. Corbett from Steptoe and Son. Now, for English listeners, I'm sure they'll know Steptoe and Son as the 1960s/70s comedy about a pair of rag and bone men. Lovely comedy. And for your American listeners, if they think Sanford and Son, that show was actually based on the English show originally. So it's the Americans will know the show, the idea of the show, but it's just different actors. So I see this chap who plays the younger son in the show, Harry H. Corbett, standing there, and he's got his cap on and he's got his little neckerchief and his baggy trousers and his long jacket and things, long heavy work coat and stuff. And I'm saying to my friend, I know it's you definitely got a Rag and Bone Man in spirit coming to talk to you because I can see I've got Harry H. Corbett and the junkyard and everything. It's a Rag and Bone Man. And she's like shaking her head going, I don't know any Rag and Bone Men, Jen. And I'm like, oh. And just as I say that, as she says that, Harry H. Corbett takes off his hat. He swoops it down in front of me and he bows to me and smiles. And he's got a lovely smile, this chap. And I can't understand why I'm getting this when she can obviously not take the information I'm giving her. And then just then, I feel something in my left ear and it feels like something nuzzling me. And I turn round and I see the ghost of a cart horse standing in the first floor bar in this pub, and which was a bit of a surprise, and it was nibbling on my earlobe. And I could feel his nose against my ear. Then I hear somebody shouting, Harold. Harold, and I can hear, and it's Steptoe Senior shouting, Harold. And then it's all started sort of to melt away. So I sit down with my friend and we talk it through what I've seen. And I say, you must have known a Rag and Bone Man. And she said, no, I definitely haven't. I can't place it. So I said, oh, okay, well, I'll leave it with you because maybe you've just forgotten, you know, and it'll come back to you later. Then we forgot about it and we had a drink and went home. And then about a week later, I was at her house. And sitting on the sofa and we're chatting and I start hearing this music. Dum dum di dum di dum 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 di dum di dum. And I went and I laughed and I said, your mate's here again, you Rag and Bone Man. And she laughed and she said, Well, I don't know any Rag and Bone Men. And she said, I'm just gonna go make a cup of tea. I said, okay, go make a cup of tea. Anyway, when she came back in, she said, Jennifer, I've just remembered something. She said, years ago, back in I think it was the late '50s, early '60s, she used to work in a hotel. And there was a repertory theatre down the street and all the actors, jobbing actors, used to stay with her. And there was people like Dick Emery before he became famous, a comedian, people like that. And she said, Harry H. Corbett stayed there. And I used to make him his breakfast and, you know, do his bacon and eggs and fluff his pillow up and stuff overnight. And we were chatting about it. We said, surely he can't have come back just to say, like, thank you for an extra sausage in the morning, you know. And we decided, you know, just a bit fanciful, you know. But anyway, we carried on chatting and stuff and I went home. And then a few weeks later, I went to a psychic evening. And because I'm a psychic artist, I like to draw spirit. And I was watching another medium work, sitting in the audience, and I was sketching away, drawing the spirits that were coming through to me. And then I wasn't quite listening to the medium. And then the medium said, can anybody understand why I'm getting stepped to and son? And I sort of stopped, put my pencil down, and I listened to what she said. She said, I've got steptoe and son coming through. Can anybody understand why I'm getting this? Somebody must understand it because I'm getting it really strongly. And everybody's looking around at each other going, I don't know. So anyway, I sort of gingerly put a hand in the air and go, you might be with me. And she looked at me, she said, I've got Harry H. Corbett here for you. He says, will you believe it's me? I just wanted to say thank you for, you know, being looked after. And so anyway, I said, thank you very much. And I ran off to ring my friend and let her know it was him. But I thought it was amazing that somebody that famous, I mean, he went on to do Hollywood movies and, you know, was famous on British TV, went out of his way to come back from spirit to say thank you to somebody, pass on a thank you to somebody who had looked after him when he was first starting out when nobody knew him, you know. So I just think it's lovely how people come back from spirit to say thank you. And, you know, I've had other famous people as well come back. I was once, went out again to the pub. I actually don't drink, which is strange, but all these things seem to happen at the pub, but I was on a mineral water anyway. And the person I was with had brought along a little pouch because she wanted to test my psychic powers, apparently. And there's a thing in clairvoyant circles called psychometry, which is that every item belonging to a person tends to hold vibrations and energy, and you can read these items and you can hold on to things and tell things about the person or where the item's been and stuff. It's like part of the history of the item. And she had brought along like a little mystery bag for me to try and see what I could get from it. She said, I don't want to tell you anything about what's in the bag, about their contents or their origin. I just want to see what you get from it. So I said, okay, let's find somewhere quiet. So we went off to sit in the car. So I shut the doors, nice and quiet, and we're looking out over the Yorkshire countryside ahead of us, so it was nice and peaceful. And she hands me this little bag, and it's like a little leather bag, and it's got a couple of items inside. So I pull it open, and there's some very, very rough wooden earrings, like made out of like baubles, and a small diamante belt with a few little jewels missing. And I'm holding the belt in my hand and running it through my fingers and I start to tune in. And as I do so, I can feel this very elegant feeling lady come through. And I can feel my body sort of moving and straightening, and she's lifting my head up and stretching my back and things. And then I can actually feel my fingers. It's like she took control of my fingers, and I could feel somebody else using my hands to hold these items, which is a very strange experience. She was moving them around, and then she put them very carefully back how that she wanted in this little pouch. And when I looked up into the rearview mirror of the car, I noticed there was somebody sitting on the seat behind us. I only got a glimpse of a real long alabaster coloured neck, a very thin face. I didn't see much of the face, but sort of black tousling hair down the side and stuff. And I was kind of a bit stunned because I didn't expect to see a ghost in the rearview mirror sitting in the car behind me. And she still had control of my hands at this point. And she lifted my right hand up to my mouth, and she imitated putting on lipstick. And I heard her, she leaned into my ear and whispered in my ear. She said, and she was American. She had a real drawly voice. And she said, darling, never go out with that lipstick on. And it's the first time I've been told off by a ghost for not wearing lipstick. And I told my friend what I was seeing, because she couldn't see any of this or hear any of this, but I told her what was happening. And then this lady started to divulge information to me, and she told me that she'd grown up in a very rural little backwater town, and she always wanted to get out of there, and how she'd tried very hard to get out, and the problems that she'd had. She was very much a home girl, but she loved the bright lights as well, and problems with gentlemen in her life, and how she always wanted the white picket fence and the husband and the kids. But it was very strange, because from the way she was talking and the way she was describing it, she wanted to be a wife and mother, stay at home, white picket fence, lovely house with the kids. But she was torn. The feeling was that she was torn, and she told me about losing a child as well. And she was so emotionally upset that I nearly started crying, because you can feel the emotion of the spirit person coming through to you. And she was telling me about this loss, but I thought it felt like there's something strange about it as well. And then she told me about her problems with the boyfriend and this, that and the other. And then she told me about her amazing love of animals and how animals were the most important thing to her. And she carried on talking about her life and things she'd achieved and things, but she never said who she was, and she never gave away any secrets to her true identity. But I could feel all the emotions that she went through, could feel all the hurt and the joys and the highs and lows. And then I could see her again, and she had a cigarette holder in her hand, and she had a cigarette. She was smoking a cigarette. I could see the cigarette holder. And she's saying, she told me that she used to smoke, but she never wanted anybody to see her smoking. So she always, in her fingers, so she always used to use a holder because she wanted to look elegant at all times, you know. Then she appeared briefly again behind me in the car, and I said to my friend, quick, look, she's there. And as we turned round, she faded out. When she'd gone, I turned to my friend, and she was saying, well, I'll tell you now who it was. She says, it was Ava Gardner, the Hollywood star. And I'm like, wow, you know, didn't expect. I said, how come I'm holding Ava Gardner's earrings and things? And she said, well, she was a big fan of hers, and there was an estate sale, and she once had the chance to buy some of her jewellery. So she bought a few things, teacup and a belt and the earrings and things. And obviously Ava was close to these items and had come back, you know, it drawn her to come back from spirit to talk about her life. And when I actually got home and got Google out and had a look at her life, everything she told me tallied, that she'd started off in this small place called Grubtown and moved to Hollywood, that she got married to Mickey Rooney and that didn't work out. And then she had an affair with Frank Sinatra, and she was allegedly, forced to have an abortion by the studio that she was working for, because their stars didn't get pregnant in those days, you know, and that she actually spent the last years of her life in London with her beloved collie dog. It was quite amazing to see when I researched her afterwards, all these things and emotions and things that she told me about all slotted into place, you know. But it was quite something to be told off by a Hollywood legend for going out without the correct amount of makeup on. So it was quite a nice experience. But it's lovely to have people like that to come through, come back with you know, stories and to tell their side of the tale from spirit, because we see things in the news and we see things on TV and the internet and things, but to get their side of the story from a personal point of view, it's quite lovely, you know. It's actually one other thing I wanted to say about that as well. I think today is the anniversary of Elvis passing away, isn't it? I was once sitting on a couch with somebody that had personal connection to Graceland and to the Elvis family. And we were chatting away. And then suddenly, between us, I could feel this cold rush of energy. And somebody had sat down from spirit. And I was looking to my left out of the corner, I was thinking, Elvis? I had no idea if it was or not, but I'd like to say, you know, Elvis was in the building that day. It's been a strange ride of different things, different experiences, different people I've seen. But it's nice to see, you know, spirit coming through and helping me to spread the word about we do exist after we pass away. You know, there is such a thing as, well, there isn't actually such a thing as death. We do die, but there's no such thing as death because we're still around. You can't transmute energy. We are made of energy. And when we pass away, we still exist on a different vibrational, on a different form. And we still can communicate, which is brilliant. As we're on a UFO podcast, I actually almost had a UFO experience once. And this was back in the 70s. And my parents, my brother and I had got in our little car. It was a little blue mini. And we'd headed off to Whitby by the seaside. And we're travelling up over the moors, and it was a real dusty, sunny day. It was like this weather we've been having now, completely blue skies. It was beautiful. And we're bobbing along the moors. And then suddenly my brother shouts out, what's that in the sky? And my mum looks out the window because my dad's driving. I'm sitting behind my dad on the driving side. And my mum is sitting in the front seat and my brother behind him on the left. And she says, there's something like a plane up there. And she said to my dad, quick, pull over. So my dad pulled over and she gets out and she said, yes, it's like a cylinder shape. And it was travelling horizontally. And then she said it suddenly went vertically. It didn't sort of swoop round, it just instantly turned on its axis and shot off skyward and disappeared. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see this because I was on the wrong side of the car. But my brother said, oh, look, there it goes. And it shot off into the blue sky. But it had no wings. There was no vapor trail, nothing else. But as far as we were concerned, nothing at that time could have turned on its axis like that. It was just, straight turn. And we were not far from Filingdales, which is the early warning station. It used to be, they used to have like three big golf balls there for looking for missiles coming from the from overseas. The area around there is known as there's a triangle for UFO activity.
Wonderful, Jane. Now, if someone wants to reach out to you for reading, do you have a website?
I do indeed. It's www.jennypewpsychic.com, and you can find me there, and I can do I do email readings. The great thing is, being clairvoyant, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, I can tune to spirit and do a reading for you. I've got clients in Hawaii, Australia, America, Canada, and down the road. So it doesn't matter where you are, I can still do a reading for you. I can do psychic portraits, spirit guides. I also do house cleansings if you're having a problem like with a noisy spirit or something like that, or you need a sort of like a spiritual refresh of your house, I can do that for you too. And I also have a book out. It's the book of my memoirs, and it's called Why Do Angels Have Wings? And the answer is in the book, because I saw one once and I found out why they do have wings. I'm on social media. You can get me at Jen Pugh Psychic on Twitter and Facebook, and at Jenny Pugh Psychic on Instagram. And I'm also on YouTube, and I'm all over the place.
That's wonderful, Jenny. Plus, you have plenty of famous clients as well.
Well, most of them in spirit, but yes. Feel free to get in touch.
But it's lovely hearing about Harry H. Corbett as well. I was always a fan of that TV show when I was a kid.
Well, the interesting thing is, when I'm tuning into somebody in spirit, I feel their personality, and he felt lovely. He had a lovely personality. And now if I'm watching Steptoe and Son, I can't help sending him a quick hello, and give him a wink, because you can just feel what a lovely personality he was, a lovely chap. And he still is, because he's still around.
Because when you hear him in real life, he is, his persona and his accent is completely different from when he was on the old show.
I know. A great actor. He could turn his hand to anything, couldn't he? It was a bit of a surprising day, especially to see the cart horse as well, nibbling on my ear. That was old Hercules. I didn't expect that.
Because he died several years before. Was it Wilfred?
Wilfred Bramble.
Bramble,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, he went first, didn't he? Apparently they didn't get on too well as well, which was a shame. But offset. But
it was quite often the case, though, wasn't it? A lot of TV shows and films, they never used to get on with their partners too well.
I know. But it's a brilliant show, personally, it was one of my favourites. So it was lovely to have him come through, and pass that message on. But just to come back and say, thank you for looking after me, when I was when nobody knew me, and, you made my breakfast for me and all that sort of thing. It's a very thoughtful person to come back and say that, You think he'd have more important things to do, but...
Obviously not, but yeah, that's wonderful. That's nice. Jenny, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
And you do have so many more, though, that's the thing.
Yeah, I've got a lot more. I've got a lot more to say, but unfortunately not a lot on UFOs.
No, that's okay. I mean, even though I have UFO in a title, I cover every single subject.
Yes.
Everything from Bigfoots to the paranormal to, I've had fairies actually. You name it, I've had it. Near death. Everything.
Well, I mean, spotted a goblin sitting on my wheelie bin one day outside. And we crawled off the wheelie bin and went under my car because I just pulled up in the car park from work. And I'm thinking, there's a goblin under my car. Anyway, I legged it to the house and the neighbours must have thought I was lunatic because, getting out of the car and running before this goblin caught a hold of my ankles, you know. I'm sure he wasn't bothered about it, but it's a strange world when you're a medium.
I bet. I mean, you used to hear all these stories in folklore and all that, but they've obviously, it's all obviously come from somewhere, you know, it's not just people's imagination.
Well, that, to be honest, that's my theory, is that parallel universes and all the rest of it, parallel worlds and the fairies interacting with us, that over the years, all these fairy stories and children's stories have come from original sightings, because I once saw an elf. And basically, cut long story short, I was followed home from the pub again, from a psychic evening, by this little chap. He was about 2.5 foot tall. And the next day I saw him standing by the front door. And he was, when I looked at him, he was dressed in green. He looked like an elf you'd see in the children's books. And he had such skinny legs with his stripy leggings on. And I looked at him and I thought, how can you stand up on legs that thin? It wasn't, oh my God, I'm seeing an elf. This looks like an elf. What the hell's going on? I just looked at it and thought, how can he stand up on legs that look like drinking straws? You know, so thin. And he was juggling a pair of candelabras and then he vanished. And then the phone rang and it was my mother. And she said, oh, my dad and your dad have just been to the car boot. And I said, I bet you've been looking at candelabras, haven't you? And she said, how did you know? I went, oh, well, I'll tell you sometime. You know, I didn't sort of believe in elves and fairies, you know, before, if you know what I mean. I thought it's a nice idea, but I didn't know if they actually were real. But since, you know, the last 20 years or so, I've seen quite a few, and I can assure everybody that they are real. So it's amazing, because you're always seeing something new, and it's a bit like having one of those, you know, the old I Spy books you used to get when you were a kid, the I Spy book of birds or the I Spy book of farm animals.
That's right.
I've got the, in my head, I have a I Spy book of ethereal creatures that aren't supposed to exist in folklore. And I kind of tick it off and go, okay, I've seen an angel, tick that one off. Okay, I've seen a goblin, there we go, tick that one. So I'm waiting to see a unicorn. I haven't seen one yet, but I'm not saying they don't exist, not saying they do, but I'm open to seeing one.
Talking about fairies, I had an email from a guy, and he goes a lot of trail walking.
Yes.
This was last year, and this was roughly around the Appalachian Mountains.
Oh, yes.
Down a trail, sorry. And he emailed me and he didn't want to come on the show. He goes, I can't come on a show because nobody will believe me.
Yes.
But he said that. He said he was walking one day along one of the trails and he said, I saw an elf. And then I saw a second elf. And then I saw a group of elves.
Oh, how lovely.
And he goes, I've never told anyone because nobody would believe me. And he didn't want to come on the show anyway. He just wanted to tell me.
Yeah.
I tried to get him on, but it was important. He just wouldn't do it.
Well, originally, when I first saw my first fairy, I thought, well, I don't want to say anything. You know, I'm not going to talk about this. People think I'm nuts. But I've actually got to the point now where I actually shout out on social media and everywhere else I can. They do exist. I've seen them. 100%. They exist. You know, I'm not care if people think I'm nuts. Because they do, and it's a disservice to not say so, to be honest. You know, and it helps other people that probably have seen them, but don't, you know, think they're going a bit crazy or whatever, or think they're imagining things. There's so much stuff out there that we don't understand that people see, and then they worry about it, and hopefully we can put that right. And by sharing some stories like you do on your podcast, you know, people get a bit more braver about talking about it in future.
Exactly, a little bit more comfortable about, you know, sharing some of the things I've experienced.
Yeah, exactly. But so you're doing a grand job, lad.
Thank you very much.
As you say in Yorkshire.
they do indeed. They do. That's wonderful. Okay, that's great, Jenny. All right. Like I said, keep in contact, all right? And I will talk to you soon.
Okay, you take care, Nick. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
No problem. Get yourself some rest now, okay?
Will do.
All right, Jenny.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Take care. Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. the veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Good evening, Em, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Nick. How are you going?
I'm going pretty good. Thank you for coming on today, and you're calling from the fine city of Melbourne, Australia.
I am.
Now, Em, you have some experiences you're going to be sharing with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Yeah, sure. Well, as I was sort of thinking about this show in preparation before tonight, I realised there's a couple of stories that first piqued my interest before I ever experienced anything. So just, I guess, for a bit of background, I'd always been interested in anything paranormal, really. Just piqued my interest. And then I'd hear these stories from people that I knew and people close to me that I knew wouldn't lie about things. And I thought, that's interesting, you know. One of them was my mum and my dad. So when they were first together, they moved into this little unit. Not sure how old it was. Don't know anything about the property, actually. That was in southeast of Melbourne, if anyone knows the area around Cheltenham. And my mum never saw anything. It was more my dad. And he would feel things. He would say to her, like, there's something not right. There's something just bad, weird sort of vibe. But he's a very pragmatic guy, so very straight down the line and very conservative. So I think with his upbringing being Roman Catholic, he was a bit scared of it, really, and didn't really want to talk about it. But they ended up having some poltergeist activity. And my mum tells this story. I've never spoken to my dad about it. I should, though, one day, because I think it'd be interesting. And, they were sitting in one room one day. I forget if this table was in the kitchen or the lounge room. Anyway, they weren't far, and they had this ashtray, as you do, back in the 70s and 80s. And their coffee table was one of those old, like, sort of 60s, 70s style tiles on top, like coloured tiles, sort of not mosaic, but and then this glass ashtray, and they'd heard it sliding around on the top, which is a very distinctive sound, and that's what got their attention. And they've looked at each other, expecting one of them to be in the room, and no, they're both there, and they're looking at each other. Do you hear that? Yeah, what do you hear? Oh, it sounds like the ashtray's moving on the table. So that was a bit weird, quite mundane, but strange going on there. And then there was a story I heard my grandparents told it, actually. And this one kind of really freaked me out because it gives a really sort of full-on visual. But like I said, they were Catholic. They went to church. Not so much my dad when he was older, but when they were younger, they had to go. And again, very liberal, very straight down the line, pragmatic, and they thought it would be really fun to work with a Ouija board, like a fun game. They even kept it in their games cabinet. Horrifying, because they're not games. So anyway, they cracked that out one night, did the seance. I don't think they were really expecting much, to be honest. But they had a few friends over. So this is my nan and her husband, and asking, anyone around, whatever. Not really expecting anything. And then all of a sudden, this glass of wine that was on the table, this glass of red wine, gets lifted up from the table and smashes against the wall. And that's the end of the story. And I think that was the last time they played with the old Ouija board. But that really stuck in my mind because I thought, these people aren't going to lie about. Yeah, like I said, the red wine smashing on the wall, such an image. But I heard that story when I was about 11 or 12. And at that time, we were living in a house in Beaumaris, which is not far from that house in Cheltenham, along the bay there. Yeah, like I never heard anything, but where my bedroom was down the back end of the house. Walk down a hallway, go down a little bit. Off to the left was my sister's room. Off to the right, opposite her room, was bathroom, laundry. And then straight ahead was my bedroom. And just that back corridor area just always felt like, I have the words for it now, but at the time I had no idea what was going on. But whenever I went down there, I just had to get to my room as quickly as possible. You know, once I was in my room, I'd be fine. And I'd feel like when someone's walking behind you and you're talking to them and you know they're there. It's hard to explain, but I know some people out there know what I'm saying. And so that's what it was at first, the feeling. And then I started to see like figures, but not just black. Like I've heard a lot, actually, people talking about them as shadow figures. That perfectly describes it, because it's like a human outline, but no colour, no like ghostly see-through kind of translucent effect, just black. And there were two of them. And they would just like kind of come up to you and like they never touched me or pushed me or, yeah, knocked anything else, but they were just there, like they were trying to scare me but couldn't actually hurt me. And for whatever reason, they couldn't go in my bedroom, which was great. And I never mentioned it to anyone because, what do you say? Oh, I think there's some black things following me and I think they've got black. It just sounds crazy. I'd never heard of shadow figures before either. I'd heard of ghosts, but your typical, you know, you would see a person or a translucent person. But I spoke to my sister about it years later and I asked her if she'd, I forget how it came up actually, if she'd brought it up or if I had. And she mentioned 4th Street and I said, what did you sense or feel or see down there? And she said the exact same thing, two black, she didn't know how to explain it either. These two black figures and, yeah, they didn't go into her room. And they were just always there. And then later on, years later, I find out, and I spoke to my mum about it just recently leading up to this, asked her about it, said, do you remember that? And do you remember something about the neighbours saying there was bad luck attached to the house before we bought it? Said, oh, yeah, the neighbours to the right, they said it was cursed. People before us, I forget which order it was in, but one of them divorced and separated, and another one had a really good business, cell phones, and he lost it. He went bankrupt, and my parents divorced in that house too. Oh, and people tried to break into it as well. So I'd be interested to know now what went on there, because after we sold it, they knocked it down and built like multiple units. So I wonder if there's a connection to the land and if people are still seeing these guys. So yeah, that was pretty much, okay, something's going on here and pretty cool and a little bit scary, but yeah. So that was actually really interesting getting my sister to confirm that, but also helped me tune my intuition as well, led me into protection and intuition, honing that. Don't know really what the intuition means, but it always usually seems to be kind of mundane stuff, but it's just like, oh, yeah, I knew that. Or the phone rings, oh, it's blah, blah, blah. And it is. I had another shadow person incident with a witness in 2010. I can't help but laugh when I think about it because the person I was with was a non-believer. And the look on their face, I don't mean to laugh at them, but it was very interesting. And again, good like to get that confirmation. Yeah, but this house had a similar energy, like just like oppressive vibe, and you walk in certain areas and like you just know someone's there and you might see something out the corner of your eye but never quite see it. Till this one night I was standing with my friend in the lounge room and it was connected to the kitchen, And we were standing on carpet, and there was lino in the kitchen. And we're standing there talking, blah, 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 whatever. Nothing too. And we weren't drinking or taking drugs either this night. I should probably note. Totally sober. Just the two of us in the house that night. And I'm looking at him, and at the left of my peripheral, I see this person, kind of hard to explain. This shadow person was standing upright and then toppled over, but didn't like fall down in a clump. Really weird, like if he tipped over a bottle that was sitting on the table, like straight, the head just went straight down in it, like on a 90 degree angle. And it made a sound. It hit with a thud like a person would. And I said, "Did you see that?" And he's gone, "No, but I heard that." Oh. And I looked and nothing was there. You know, it was all over. But yeah, the look on his face was just like, shit. You know, I'd spoken to him about stuff and he was like, "Look, I believe other people believe they've seen or heard stuff. Like, I believe that they believe it, but me, no, I don't think it's real." So yeah, that'll always stick in my mind. But yeah, that was quite unnerving. And I just remember being like, what was the point of that? So strange. And like the way that they fell too, it wasn't like someone had just lost consciousness. It was like he was trying to get my attention. But my mum mentioned this when I rang her recently about the coffee table thing. Same thing in my grandparents' house, and they've still got the house. My dad passed on last year, but my grandfather's still there. And same thing down this hallway. And I didn't like going down the hallway. I hated it. But just awful feeling, oppressive, something's going to get me. But once I was down the end of the house, it wasn't too bad, but it was still kind of hanging around. But then up the other end of the house, like, that was fine. It didn't seem to really go down there. And again, I never asked my family about this till recently, because it's like, you know, I'm the black sheep of the family as it is. I don't really want to ask them about weird things that, you know, maybe they, because they're, you know, Catholic, maybe they think it's demonic, and I don't want to scare them. But yeah, apparently my nan had always known something was there, but she never told anyone, because yeah, didn't want to scare anyone. And I don't think her husband would have really entertained the idea anyway. Yeah, and then one day her and my dad were there and they were talking, and she's just looked at his face. He's just stopped talking and had this look on his face, and she just thought, yeah, he's seen something. And she goes, "Oh, do you see it too, Tony?" And he looked at her like, oh, like, okay, you've just confirmed for me, Mum, that I'm not seeing something in my head, that something's here. So yeah, unfortunately, I don't have any other info on that. She's passed and haven't asked Dad yet. So it'd be interesting to know what he saw exactly, if it was just a shadow, another shadow person, or like a full blown apparition. Oh, the very best ghost story, I guess we'll call it, that I had was in Tasmania. I lived there when I was 15, 16, and we bought this place. It was actually on a small island and right down south of Hobart, about an hour down in Kettering. And it had a couple of buildings on it. Like, there was a main house. We had our generator room. We had a pool. It was a pool house thingy. And then there was a guest house down near the, we called it the guest house. But before we moved there, there was a gentleman living there called Alan. And he was the caretaker for the island. So he knew how to run the jennies and fix them and operate the boat, take people to and from the mainland of Tassie, which is only about 500 metres. And he was a really lovely guy. He was there with his girlfriend, beautiful husky dog, who also died before we moved there. But I met them all once before we moved there, about 4 months before we moved there. And he tragically died one night of a brain aneurysm, very sudden death. It was really shocking. Like, he was really fit, like I mentioned. He ran the island, so even though he was in his early 50s or late 40s, can't quite remember, He was a very fit guy. Didn't smoke, didn't drink, nothing. But yeah, he passed over before we moved there. And because of these other experiences, I knew he died in that house. He went to bed one night, complained of a headache, got worse and worse. And then before any help arrived, dead, he was found dead on arrival. So I thought, maybe he's still there. So whenever I'd go in there for whatever we needed, because we set it up as a guest house, like I said, so fully set up with coffee, sugar, tea, there was bedding there, firewood, all the jazz. So whenever I'd go in there, I'd just be like, hey, Al, how you going? Not having a full-on conversation, but, a bit of acknowledgement. And then I'd leave, I'd go, see you, Al, as I'm going to the door. Oh, one time as well, we found some of his belongings, some of his clothing. A couple of really nice leather jackets. I just said to him, look, went in the house, I'm alone. And I said to him, look, I hope you don't mind, but I think we'll give these jackets on to my friend, if you don't mind. They don't fit any of us, and I'd like them to still have some use. So I hope you don't mind, but I'm going to give you leather jackets on. Not thinking if he'd ever heard me or anything, like I never got anything back. Never saw him. But then people started hearing things in the house. So they'd say at night, and you're really typical, footsteps on the wooden floors, and you would hear like someone would like just be pottering in the kitchen, just doing this, doing that, just living their life, just pottering around. And it freaked some people out. Yeah, we had some visitors and they didn't want to come back, which is understandable, but others were kind of like, well, that's a bit freaky, but it's nothing like scary or threatening. Bit sad that if he's kind of stuck here, One day I was down there with my sister, and she's 2 years older than me. I'd never mentioned anything to her about our old house and seeing stuff, but I was talking to her, talking crap. We go to walk out, and the front door was glass panels, and the perimeter was surrounded in timber. And then one slat of timber in the middle, and then just glass. And we're walking towards the door, and I'm talking to her, blah, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. Mid-sentence, stop, look at the glass that I'm walking towards. My mouth is open. I look over at her. She looks at me like, And then I look back, and there's nothing. But when I was walking towards the door, I saw Alan standing there like he was standing behind me, and it was reflected on the glass like he was standing behind me. And he had this big grin on his face, and he had his arm out waving to me like, you can imagine outstretching your arm to the side and then bending it up at the elbow. And he was doing massive waves like that. I'll never forget it. But, yeah, it only lasted couple of seconds. I looked to her to kind of go, are you seeing this? And then when I looked back, he was gone, and I never saw him again, and no one ever heard anything again after that too. So I don't know, I'd like to think he got a bit of, he came to terms with his death and what had happened, and he happily moved on. But I mean, I still can't believe that to this day, how clear it was. And yeah, just the grin on his face, and yeah, it makes me really warm thinking about it. That was pretty incredible. Like, if someone told me that story, I'd be like, oh wow, that's really cool, but still kind of going, I can't imagine that. Like, unless I'm there, I can't actually, it's hard to picture that. But yeah, that was pretty cool. And then a little bit after that, or a bit before, my friend came over from Melbourne. And she came over at the school holidays, and we were just cruising around in the ute, as you do when you have your own property. And we're driving down the road, and this story really hit an extra level. I forget the gentleman's name I was talking to about owls, and I didn't realize how much white owls were a thing. But we were driving down this road one day, and I had a sighting of different things with my friend. We both saw different things, but at exactly the same time. I'm driving, she's the front passenger seat, looks to her left, about 20, 30 metres through the bush would have been Alan's house. And so she sees him standing on the side of the road. And as we're going past him, he just like turns to walk back towards his house. At the exact same time, I'm driving and above the road, just before I sort of go under it, so just as I'm coming to it, this pure white owl was just staring at me. And like I said, I didn't know anything about white owls, and people had seen them a lot, or they're associated with this and that. I didn't even know there weren't white owls in Tasmania like that until recently, you know, listening to your podcast. Adds a real extra layer of intrigue onto that. And like, just it happened at exactly the same time. I don't know what the owl was about. I don't know, but it was very weird. It was very weird. And I've never seen an owl like that before since. And it was looking directly at me. Like, it was, yeah, not in a menacing way, but it looked through me. Like, it was looking into me. So that was interesting. Yeah, actually quite a couple of profound sort of experiences in the short time that I was there. And that was a really magical place. I wish I had been more of a sky spotter at that time, and the skies were so clear all the time, so far away from the city. Oh, yeah, so I just thought I'd mention too, like I probably wouldn't have really put it with this stuff, but it seems to be a bit of a theme to this. So my mum also used to have tarot cards and oracle cards and runestones growing up. So that was another thing that piqued my interest. I was like, what's this about? So I dabbled with them. I don't really do it much anymore, but I did for a while. I got really into it and got really heavy into meditation as well and astral traveling a little bit too. And when I had some of those experiences, it really pushed me towards this side of things, especially the meditation. Just seemed to really help and open up that sort of part of your consciousness and the protection. So one night I was having a bit of a cruise around outside my body. I used to like to just go up and sit or lay, hang around, just at the top, just where space starts and our atmosphere ends, and just it's a really good view from up there. And I'd just go there and hang. Like, I didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't have anywhere in particular I wanted to go, you know, like, you know, that particular place. I was just sort of practicing doing it. Go up there, but one time I left my body, started going up as I normally do. I shit you not, and I've heard this before, and it's the only reason why I'm going to mention it, because it sounds crazy. And I was chased by these ring wraith looking things. Some people, I'm not into Harry Potter, but they've got the Dementors. But that's what they looked like. These black cloaks and kind of like the shadow people, like no discerning like skin or features or anything. That was terrifying. And I saw them. I hadn't got up to where I wanted to go yet. And they just came out of nowhere. I forget, there were three or four of them, and they started coming towards me. I've got to get back to my body. I was just out of there. I've got to get back to my body. And I'm hauling it down, and they're catching up. Got back into my body before they did. And, yeah, I didn't do any traveling for a while after that, but don't know what that was about, but that wasn't very fun. Probably haven't done actually a lot of astral traveling since then. A few years after that, I got pregnant and had a baby and was stay-home mum. So I didn't do any of this stuff, just on, you know, mothering duties. So, yeah, I'm not even sure if I'd like to try astral travelling again, at least not that far away from my body. That was really unpleasant. But they don't know what they would have done if they'd got me, but got the feeling it wasn't going to be good. Family member that passed, my auntie, so this was about 8 years ago, and she got cancer and it spread really quick. So within a year of diagnosis, she was dead. Really sad. really quick death. And it, yeah, just spread everywhere. I saw her about a week before she passed, a bit more, no more than 2 weeks though. And like, I didn't really know quite how sick she was. I think they were trying to protect us, but I kind of wish I had have known, because I thought I really should have gone and saw her. I was feeling really, really down, like really down on myself for having, like, I was feeling guilty, because in my mind it had been so long since I'd seen her, even though it was only a week or two. The night after she died, I was really upset and I couldn't sleep. And I didn't know this, but she'd passed away. I forget if it was 3 or 3:30 in the morning. As they say, and it's true, I mean, things happen all times of the day and night, but, and I couldn't sleep and I was really upset and I just couldn't sleep. And I thought, I'll do some meditation to just kind of clear my mind and settle and, you know, try to just chill. And I started to go up again, but then I felt like I was being pulled, but I wasn't alarmed by it. I wasn't scared. Can't explain that, but and I go up and there she is. There's my auntie, and she's standing there. And as soon as I saw her, I just burst out crying. And she laughs. She goes, "Why are you crying?" And I said, "Oh, because I miss you, and I'm sad, and I miss you." And she said, "Don't be sad. I'm happy now." And she smiled, and we hugged, and then that was it. I came back and I felt no guilt after that, no grief. Like, it sounds cold-hearted to say, but I was no longer sad that she was gone. It was really weird. I don't know how to explain it. It makes me sound heartless, but it was like a switch was flipped and I feel sorry for her. Like, I feel sympathy for her, my cousin, her two children, but not the kind of grief that I had had. And when I saw her and with Alan, it was that typical, like, they were in their prime, so not the age they were when they died, not that either of these people were old. But, yeah, they look younger. Yeah, they look really great. I can't explain that, but I saw it.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah.
You weren't a bit nervous?
Yeah, a little bit.
You did great.
Thank you.
It's nice to see. Of course, you know, I've always said, you know, when we pass, we're gonna still visit our relatives, whether they see us or not.
Yeah.
In the case of your aunt, you know, when you see them and they look younger, you know, that's how you should really see them. You know, it's the best way, not so much the last few days and last few hours, but seeing them when they're, you know, when they're at the prime, you know, when they're at the happiest.
Yeah.
And Alan, the caretaker, I mean, it makes complete sense. I mean, he was a caretaker on the island. He was doing what he probably more than likely enjoyed. And I think you by saying, "Hey, Al. Bye, Al."
Yeah.
Probably said to him, "Yeah, she's, you know, she'd be cool just to give her a fleeting glance of me."
Yeah. No, that experience was incredible. Like, it still floors me to this day.
And did you see him as a complete form?
Well, like I said, the door was separated by a sort of plank of wood in the middle, I guess. And then his legs may have been on the bottom, or I couldn't see them, or just his arm. I don't remember his bottom half. He was standing behind me and it was reflected on the glass. Very real, very real.
Plus he was waving energetically, so he was probably quite happy.
Yeah, I think he must have heard me all this time saying, "Hi, bye, can we take your jacket?" Yeah, very special, that one. Yeah, very special to see that. And again, not even in the astral plane. That was like 100% with my physical eyeballs. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one, that is. That's a good one. Like I said, yeah, he's probably still caretaking the island, even now he's passed.
Yeah, no, he loved it there. Yeah.
And it makes sense as well, you know, people that pass, you know, they will usually continue doing what they enjoy doing, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, why would you go anywhere else? And especially that place sort of being, you know, before we moved there, the person that owned it was only there temporarily. So he pretty much had this place to himself, you know, it was his home. The whole place was his home.
Yeah, and if you had people staying and they got pretty freaked out, then they could have caught a glimpse of him or him filling up all the firewood.
Yeah, well, I never, and again, maybe I was too young, someone didn't want to scare me, but I only remember hearing reports of, like, sound, not so much anyone seeing anything, but they may have, yeah, yeah. But he was a nice guy. You wouldn't have scared them, but, you know, if you're not expecting to see that or if you've never seen anything like that before, you just, yeah, you're shocked. Yeah, it's kind of fight, flight, freeze, but you're probably just going to freeze.
Of course it is. And especially when you're younger, you saw a lot of shadow forms.
Yeah, and like learning more about this stuff, looking back going, oh, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure I can feel when there's something like in someone else's house or you walk. You go here or there. Something's up here. I don't know what it is, but I can feel it.
Did it ever scare you when you were younger?
It did when in that house. And because they would come like right up to you. They would never touch you, but like right behind you. Maybe it's dark, so they're keeping close to you so they don't get lost and you're leading the way. That kind of thing. Like they would just, and not a nice one. Like it's more than just, oh, there's something there that I don't understand and therefore I'm scared of it. It was like the vibe. That was really scary. And not talking about it to anyone either. Like, what do you say, you know, to your Catholic family? Oh, I think there's a ghost. Didn't ever think it was a demon. I didn't really buy into that. I grew up with it and then sort of went, actually not sure all that is sort of spot on. And that the good and evil and that, you know, you go to hell and then you're damned. And I don't sort of buy into all that. But there was something very definitely negative about it. And scared of something you can't see. You're just going to be told, oh, just a nightmare or your imagination. Don't worry about it. Mm. But looking back now, I'm wondering if somehow I knew how to put up like a protection on my door. Because I remember like I'd get to my bed and I'd stare at the doorway. And because I was scared of the dark, I'd always have a bit of a light on coming in, so from further down the hallway. And I would look and I would sort of beg in my mind, like, please don't come in, please don't come in. I wonder if somehow I sort of was doing a bit of protection even back then. I'm not sure.
Possibly. Don't cross this path.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I learned to do later on. I go, oh, shit, I know how to do this. Yeah.
When I have guests that grew up in Catholic family households, you know, this kind of stuff isn't really spoken about at all, generally.
No, which seems strange.
Yeah, which kind of surprises me as they, you know, they give out exorcisms now and again.
Yep, and you can't have one without the other. Like, if you believe in a god and angel, well, they're told that there's this opposite thing, you know, or even if it's not opposite, yeah, there's something there. They do acknowledge there's something there, but it's almost taboo to talk about, which yeah, it baffles me as well. I don't know. I guess maybe because it's scary, you know, and because you teach kids about religion, this kind of religion when they're young, you know, they don't want to scare them too much. Very taboo, interestingly.
It is, yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong. Wonderful, Em.
Cool. Really nice to just sort of add to it as well. It's sort of what made me want to come on the show, you know, every story. Yeah, someone will hear it and they will go, oh my God, I totally relate to that. And it just helps. So many people just don't talk about it. Even today, it's so taboo and you're just ridiculed or worse. Like, people think that you're actually crazy. I'm not. Many people are not. And I just like to put my little experiences out there and help add to it. One thing I've learned in my 35 years on this planet so far is truth is stranger than fiction.
Indeed it is.
Sure. Oh, thanks so much, Nick. And I'll just reiterate everything that all the guests say. You're amazing. What you do is amazing and it's so important. And what everyone says, you're now my favorite podcast. So I don't even remember how I got onto you now, who recommended you or from another podcast that, yeah, you're my favorite now. And I'm telling everyone that I sent your link to my sister. So I'm hoping she'll start getting through it too. But, yeah, really love your work. I know you put in so much hard work. But it's really appreciated and really needed. And, yeah, we love you.
Thank you. But it's all down to the guests, you know, because without the guests and obviously without the listeners, there would be no show.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's the way I look at it. Em, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You are more than welcome. Keep in contact, all right?
All right, cool.
All right, Em. So wonderful speaking to you, right? Enjoy the rest of the evening in Melbourne.
Yeah, you too. All right, thanks, Nick.
Okay, thank you, Em.
Take it easy. Bye.
That is it for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A very big thank you to Jenny and Em for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.